In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Well, hello. Okay, so, good morning, friends. Nothing like a bit of theatrics to start it off. Yes, indeed. Good morning all, although I don't think there are any non-friends here, so. Anyway, second Sunday of the preparation for the coming. Self-forgetfulness today. So what do we mean by self-forgetfulness? Today's gospel is taken from a part of Mark where there are a great many pithy sayings or parables of the Saviour just laid end to end, seemingly without any particular rhyme or reason, just stacked one upon another. Firstly, that thing about being measured. What you measure with shall be used to measure you. It's one way of interpreting it anyway. Then the thing about those who have shall be given more, and those who have little, even the little they have shall be taken away. Then this secret seed growing up into wheat in stages until the harvest, upon which the sharp sickle immediately cuts the stalk for harvest. And finally, the mustard seed starting so small but growing into such a big tree with space and shade for all the birds. What are we to make of all this? Let's consider that all these sayings, though seemingly unrelated, have been strategically stacked this way because they do indeed form a kind of argument or roadmap as to how we are to come to the kingdom. Let us also assume our founding bishops believed this sequence of sayings was instructive of a pathway of glorification of God and focusing on the kingdom and the qualities of behaving in a manner that is entirely consistent with lawfulness as described by Paul in today's epistle to the Thessalonians, thus bringing about an attitude of self-forgetfulness and hence today's intent. With that in mind, let's go into these things in order and notice the effect of such stacking on our psychology. For starters, when accepting such a rapid litany of pithy and dense sayings, the mind is almost immediately overwhelmed by the sheer amount of information being poured out. The mind is thus quite naturally without an answer, and the self is forgotten as the mind automatically seeks to find some way to process the overwhelming overflow of dense and startling information contained in the parables. Now let's consider the story these parables are telling us about the kingdom and about ourselves. The measuring we do which measures us. Those lacking, losing, those having, gaining. The severally staged mysterious development of wheat from seed leading to sudden harvest. The tiny mustard seed bringing forth the most giant of spreading trees. So the first two sayings put us on notice about how to approach the sayings to follow. That we better be paying close attention and refraining from judgment about them. How we measure these sayings will measure us in the kingdom. So we better be paying attention receptively, lest we miss the wisdom to follow. And secondly, we better recognize that we already have the use of sufficient wisdom about the kingdom so that we may gain more wisdom, lest we have too little and lose even that. It is also a bit like a common idea in Judaism. Life comes from life, and the living can never be dead or would never be living. The living quality of a being means it must always be alive and must always be forever in some way growing. Whereas, if you are not alive, you will certainly decay, become dust, and eventually not even that. The kingdom of heaven is the kingdom of life. To be alive is to become more and more alive. To be not alive means you become nothing. And in a real sense, it is a choice. You may ally yourself with the forces of life and good, or you may ally yourselves with the forces of death and evil or destruction. Choosing life in all your actions will bring you into the kingdom, while choosing death will lead to total and complete destruction. The measure by which you measure will measure you. The kingdom is the kingdom of life, which is a great mystery we cannot explain with our physical senses or intellects. Life works in us, we know not how. Life and consciousness are one. All the living are somehow conscious, though not all self-conscious. All the living are somehow responsive, although not all are self-responsive or self-reflective in their responses. Men and women, boys and girls, are all self-reflective in the responses to the phenomena of the world, learning, initially without even knowing how, but eventually learning in such a responsible way that the learnings are applied to themselves. The wheat mysteriously moves through stages of development and cannot be rushed. First the seed, then the sprouting stalk, then the partial ear, the full ear, the ripened plant, and all at once cut down and harvested by the sickle. So too with us. When our learning is complete, we will harvest that learning and be harvested. When our life has fulfilled its purpose, our life will be harvested for another process of quite a different order. The kingdom of heaven is the mystery of life and provides us with the mystery that that life will always be us. From seed to harvest and beyond, the school of the earth and the solar system has many growth cycles and harvests, endlessly rhyming as wheels within wheels. The harvest of your childhood being your adulthood. The harvest of each year providing for now as well as for future years. The harvest of your earthly life being the second life, and the harvest of the two lives, the third heaven, which can be said to be in the so-called Buddhic plane. The cycle of those three stages give rise to the next life and eventually many lifetimes. The harvest of the many lifetimes being liberation from the wheel of birth and death and the earthly plane. The harvest of the earthly plane, the chain of worlds of lifetimes, with the harvest of each chain being another planetary school where even more aspects of life are explored and perhaps even more exploration of many solar systems until planetary consciousness, solar consciousness, constellationary, galactic and supragalactic consciousness are grown. Bearing in mind physical planets, suns and galaxies are but shells and skeletons of the beings whose energy and consciousness interpenetrate and reside upon and within them. So then, we come at last to the parable of the mustard seed with its very strangely Buddhist flavour. It's in fact the same parable Siddhartha Gautama made famous a few centuries earlier. The mustard seed is the smallest of all seeds. How can the biggest and most luscious of trees live inside it? Such is the mystery of the Buddha nature. And it's a seeming contradiction here. Didn't we say that to him who has little, even that will be taken away? Yet now we are saying this littlest of seeds can become, indeed must become, the biggest of trees. How can these both be true? Why? In the same way the tiny mustard seed is also the huge tree it becomes. You only seem to be a tiny mustard seed. Your glory is not in the seed, but the tree. The kingdom seems small and worthless because its glory is not here. Yet the mustard seed, when it empties itself of itself and dies to itself, becomes a new plant in the earth, growing up in the soil until it is the great mustard tree. Yet even with all our ideas about cellulose, photosynthesis, carbon chains, double helixes, the life that directs all those processes and structures is still a mystery to us. And indeed, according to our science, should not exist. Beware of this so-called science that would do away with consciousness and life, for it lies right to you. Life exists, and so does consciousness. You are living proof of it. Yet, according to materialistic science, neither should exist, because the so-called scientific models cannot explain either life or consciousness. And indeed, the second law of thermodynamics implies they should never exist in the first place, since the universe is a one-way spiral of doom down to the heat death of ultimate disorder. In such a universe, were it true, no life could ever come into existence, as the complexity entailed would break the second law and its so-called arrow of time. But as a friend of mine likes to say, I would believe in all these mathematically beautiful equations as a description of the energy relationships and the increasing disorder and randomness of the universe, except for one thing. For some reason, all of the toasters are appearing on this planet. So, if you put your mind in the tininess of the mustard seed and really go into it, and really go into how the whole kingdom of heaven is somehow like that mustard seed, it's not telling you something you can explain. It's pointing to an experience. The kingdom of heaven can only be apprehended experientially. It cannot be apprehended with the intellect or normal senses. Even astral senses do not fathom the kingdom, but it's illusory projection or reflected memory only. The kingdom is too much for our little selves, so we must empty ourselves of self in order to be able to open up a tiny flowering of it within us. Until we grow in capacity, perhaps over many, many lifetimes, and that tiny bud becomes a whole open flower, stem, branch, and tree within us, experientially. To apprehend the kingdom requires the ending of intellect. Capacity for greater experience requires inner emptiness and not being so full. Pride in oneself must be allowed to die to itself, collapsing under its own weight. Pride, the second great initiation, the one we call baptism, is partly about that, if we notice how Jesus humbles himself. Intellect and pride are bound up together and must be let go of together. Then the intuitive intelligence can come in, and the love that asks no questions can make room in you for the coming of the greater emptiness, so the royal child within awakens as you in a very different world. Then shall we see our Father in heaven and begin to know him even as we are known by him. So don't let's squander the gift of life on the mind stuff, but use that gift to bring forth the love that opens the endless space, harmonious, whole, empty. Thanks for listening, guys. And now to God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, three persons in one, God, be ascribed all honor, might, majesty, power, and dominion, now and forevermore.
Amen.
God is love and power and truth and light.
that perfect justice rules the world, that all his sons shall one day reach his feet, however far they stray. We hold the fatherhood of God, the brotherhood of man. We know that we do serve him best, when best we serve our brother man. So shall his blessing rest on us, and peace forevermore. Amen.